Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
From the Baltimore Sun, this is Roughly Speaking. I'm Dan Rodericks, Sun columnist. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 347 for Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. Nominations for the 90th Oscars were announced in Los Angeles Tuesday morning at 8:22 Eastern Time. We are recording this latest episode of the show at 9:30 a.m. to get reactions from our film critics, Linda DeLibro and Christopher Llewellyn Reed. Linda DeLibro is Director of Film and Media Studies at the Johns Hopkins University. Chris Reed is Professor and Chair of the Film and Moving Image Department at Stevenson University. They're regular contributors to Roughly Speaking, and it's Super Bowl time for films. Well, just about. These are the nominations. Linda, nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Chris, nice to see you.
Great to be here as always, Dan.
Okay, what's the news out of Hollywood? What's the headline for you guys, if you're writing the headline on today's nominations?
I guess the headline is that Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's film, got 13 nominations, which is one shy of a record. Is that right? Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, Chris, you were raving about this film. Oh, wait a minute. Or were you anticipating this to be a great film last time you were here?
I was anticipating it to be a great film. I have some issues with it, but it still worked itself into my top 20.
A woman falls in love with a creature from the Black Lagoon?
Basically, it's a beautifully designed film. It's deserving of all the technical awards for which it was nominated. Sally Hawkins got a nomination for Best Actress, and she's terrific in the film. So I have no problem with it being among the top contenders.
Okay. What else do you see in the nominations?
No James Franco.
That's very interesting. Now, James Franco, people anticipated him being nominated for that film about the very bad film.
The Disaster Artist.
The Disaster Artist. But there's been some issues in the last few weeks with James Franco. Sexual harassment, sexual abuse or manipulation, whatever you want to call it, from, four or five different women that he's responded to on late night talk shows. But there was a big question about whether he would show up in these nominations, and Linda says he didn't.
No, he did not.
Even though he received a Golden Globe Award, therefore, you know, it's not a perfect match between the Globes and the Oscars, but there definitely are some notable snubs or people left off whom you might have thought would have made it into this top five, or in the case of films, top nine or ten. I appreciate how they spread nominations across a number of different kinds of films. We have in the Best Picture Awards Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And even
how many is that?
Nine.
So they could have gone to 10.
They could have gone to 10. Okay. And that last one is the one that mystifies me of what it's doing among all these top lists of the year. I didn't hate everything about the film, but I certainly did not love it.
It just did well at the Screen Actors Guild, right? All right, this is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, right? With
Frances McDormand.
Linda?
It's a travesty. It really is. It's not a single word, sentence, plot point in that film is authentic or true. And why people, what mystifies me is its popularity is being explained as some sort of reaction to the Me Too movement. And I imagine that this is because Frances McDormand plays the mother of a daughter who was raped and murdered, and she's really mad.
She's trying to get the sheriff in the town to do something about it, right?
Nothing in the film makes sense. It was clearly written to hit a number of manipulative audience triggers, and apparently it succeeded at doing that, even though that doesn't make any sense. There's so many things about this film that make no sense, but one of them is that the film ends up basically letting off the hook a wife beater, a racist cop. There is no solution to the murder. The daughter's character, we see her once for a minute, so there isn't any really, there's no going into where this comes from.
Right, it doesn't create sympathy by building that character.
No, it's just Frances McDormand is really, really angry, and she puts up these billboards even though they make no sense either, because the reason the cops haven't solved the murder is because there are absolutely zero clues. The racist cop, who's played by Sam Rockwell, who got a nomination, along with Woody Harrelson, who plays the sheriff, what he has to do with the daughter is that there's no connection there. It's just that we all know that he tortured a black person at some point. We don't see it. It's never explained. He redeems himself. There's nothing that's plausible in this film. My jaw was
dropping. And it's nominated for Best Picture. Okay.
And there's
all this buzz. Can I ask a question before you? Is this a fan favorite, or is this a critic's favorite?
Both.
These present critics
some
excluded.
Some critics have liked it, but it's been very divisive. I mean, there are some critics who felt the same way as we do.
Indeed, but there are plenty of critics who are really spreading the love about this film. My issue with the movie, which is directed and written by Martin McDonagh, who previously did the films In Bruges, which I really liked, Seven Psychopaths, is a question of tone. And as Linda said, veracity in the structure and the dialogue. So he's one of these writers, like an Aaron Sorkin, who always puts language in the mouths of his characters that, you know, serves a certain kind of linguistic ambition that in this case I don't think is at all believable coming out of the mouths of these particular characters. And whereas in previous films, I thought he had handled this macabre tone mixed with sort of light humor very well. And to be honest, it did work for me for the first hour of this movie before the film just became really nasty and then offended me by its treatment of, as Linda said, this racist cop. And to quote Gene Denby of NPR's Code Switch, it's really horrifying how they basically treat this character's racism as an emotional beat, right? Hmm. So it's just something, oh, he's racist, and now look what he's doing. And right. I just found that lack of follow-through on this kind of really irredeemable character quality inexcusable.
Do you see anything else on the list that you wouldn't have put on there?
Yeah,
for Best Picture.
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour. Let's talk about this because Chris, you had some comments about it the last time we were together. You didn't think it was such a great movie. Linda, go ahead. Your turn on this. I hear people raving about it. Gary Oldman.
Gosh, I've never heard anybody rave about the film itself, but what struck me about it getting nominated over films like, I guess most notably, The Florida Project, which is, to me, a far superior film, much more innovative, interesting, emotionally felt authentic film. It just said to me in some ways that this new Academy Award membership that is supposed to be so much more progressive, they've kind of hit all the points. Yes, we nominated the lady director, we nominated the black director, we gave some nominations to people of color, blah, blah, blah. But at heart, we're kind of still the same old-fashioned nominating committee that we've always been, and
it's still 72% male and white and 80% white or something. I saw those stats in the New York Times story today.
And which is not to say, in some ways, it's an extraordinary group of films, because there are genuinely three films that I think are lasting masterpieces. Dunkirk, Call Me By Your Name, and Phantom Thread. None of those will win, of course, but they at least got a nod. But then,
you consider them masterpieces.
I do.
Three.
Yes, I do.
How do you feel about Get Out? How did you feel about Get Out?
Yeah, I would differ with Linda on the films that are the top of my list, which, although those are films with definite high qualities, my favorites among the nominees are Get Out, Lady Bird, The Post, and then close behind them, The Shape of Water. Though I do have issues with The Shape of Water.
So those are your
Those are my three. Get Out, Lady Bird, and The Post.
I'm with Linda on this one.
I would say that The Post is a very solid film. Lady Bird is a very entertaining, enchanting film. It's not as if they don't belong there. Get Out is, of course, incredibly innovative, and it will last. I give it that. It's not a great movie. As a movie, I would say there are some problems I had with it. But in terms of the concept and the delivery, it really packed a wallop and did what it set out to do, and there's nothing like it. I guess it's the other films that I have the problem with. Also, it was a bit of a surprise that Tonya didn't get nominated, and I think Margot Robbie well-deserved her nomination for Best Actress, but I don't think that film... There are going to be people who complain about it, but I don't think that film was particularly deserving of an Oscar nomination.
I, Tonya.
Rather see it than The Darkest Hour.
Okay, and just to go over that, that's Margot Robbie.
Received a nomination for Best Actress, as did Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep for The Post. Mm-hmm. And that's the nomination, even though I like The Post a lot, that I'm the most disappointed in for lead actress, because do we really need another Oscar Meryl nomination Streep. For Meryl Streep? Could we give it to someone else? I mean, really.
Okay.
I love Meryl Streep, but I think it's time to nominate other people. For lead actors, we have Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, well-deserved. Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread, also well-deserved, even though he's had his share of glory. Perhaps they could have given it to someone else. Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. Gary Oldman, this is a nomination that most annoys me, for Darkest Hour. And then I have not seen Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
That's Denzel Washington.
I always like, but again, maybe they could have given it to somebody else who has yet to have his particular moment of glory. But I haven't seen the film.
I want to ask you about Mudbound. Mary J. Blige gets a Best Supporting Actress nomination for that.
Very well deserved. I have issues with the film. It's not my favorite film of the year, but it is beautifully photographed. And the nomination for its cinematographer, Rachel Morrison, who's the first female cinematographer to be nominated for an Oscar, is extremely well deserved. Mm-hmm. It is a gorgeous looking film. And Dee Reese was nominated for a screenplay award. She's the director as well. And although I have issues with the film, I think there are many, many things that are marvelous about it, including Mary J. Blige's performance.
Linda. For those who aren't familiar with The Florida Project, mm-hmm. I see William Dafoe is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Could you just talk about the film a little bit?
I'm so happy that Willem Dafoe got nominated. But it's a small film that probably wasn't expected to make such a big splash, but it's a really beautiful film about people who live on the outskirts of society.
It's some of the best work he's ever done in a career filled with terrific highlights. It's a wonderful example of behavioral acting. He's terrific with the children. I think the smart money is on him to win, and I hope he does.
Best Supporting Actor, Christopher Plummer, all the money in the world. Do you think they're giving him that nomination just for filling in for Kevin Spacey at the end there?
I suspect. The film is not great. His performance is adequate, and it's Christopher Plummer. He's never terrible, but I think you're probably right in terms of why he was so nominated. We've also got Woody Harrelson, as Linda mentioned, and Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. And I always
like
Richard Jenkins.
If you had to lay some money on Best Director... Let's just look at that. Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. So it looks like Shape of Water is the film to beat.
I think my money would be on Guillermo, mm-hmm. and after that, Greta Gerwig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. And neither of those would disappoint me. I have to say, although I didn't love everything about Phantom Thread, it is a work of beautiful artistic ambition. And so if they decided to give it to Paul Thomas Anderson, I would also have no problem with that choice. But they're not going to. It's a challenging film, and I don't think they're going to give it to him.
I would also say Christopher Nolan deserves it because that film was...
I'm with you
innovative.
On Dunkirk, yeah.
It's just such a spectacular film cinematically. You know, somebody said, well, none of the performances were nominated because the performances weren't the point. It was the film itself, which is, I think, his best movie. And early on, it looked like that was the solid winner to back.
Yeah. That and Wonder Woman. Right. And I don't see Wonder Woman.
No, Wonder Woman's nowhere.
But she's nowhere.
We'll agree to disagree on Dunkirk. But in terms of Best Supporting Actresses, beyond Mary J. Blige, we have Allison Janney for I, Tonya, Leslie Manville from Phantom Thread. She's wonderful. Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. I think she's well-deserving. And the only one that disappoints me even though I love her, is Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water, because that was one of the things I did not like about that movie, was I felt like she was used as Octavia Spencer, sort of yet another sort of sassy African-American best friend, and she can do so much more. Hmm. And that for me was a real weakness in the script.
I got to see that movie.
And it, what's interesting is that Tiffany Haddish, who was reading the nominations this morning along with Andy Serkis, did not receive a nomination for Girls Trip. And early on, there was some speculation that she would. And I think if they wanted to nominate more people of color, she was well-deserving for her role in that movie, and it's too bad not to see her there.
I'd just like to hear from Chris on animated feature film. The Breadwinner, Coco, Ferdinand, The Boss Baby, and Loving Vincent.
So as a, you know, work of art, Loving Vincent is absolutely beautiful. I did not actually like the script of it very much. It's sort of a tribute to Vincent van Gogh. Coco, it's a Pixar film. It'll probably win. I don't know what Ferdinand is doing on there. That's sort of a kind of weak adaptation of the novel. I haven't seen the other two, although you can watch Boss Baby on Netflix right now if you really want to.
Okay.
But Coco, I enjoy it. I mean, if they're going
to
give it to an animated film,
yeah.
it made me cry a couple times at the end, as Pixar films do, so I have no problem with that.
Anything else you want to say about the nominations?
One thing that this animation category brings up to me is the question of, you know, why do they have to be segregated? For the same reason that comedies are still treated like stepchildren.
Yeah.
I would have much rather have seen The Big Sick in the best film category rather than The Darkest Hour. Much better film, entertaining, poignant. Did well at the box
Very good.
Office.
It is nominated for original screenplay.
Yeah, but
and well deserved.
Yeah, and it's a comedy, so it can't really be taken seriously.
Yeah, the Academy doesn't go for comedies much,
do
they?
No, they don't. I'd like to give a shout out to the documentary nominees, particularly Abacus, Small Enough to Jail by Steve James, about the one bank that was prosecuted after the financial crisis, a small bank in Chinatown, by Cyrus Vance, the prosecutor in New York. It's a travesty that's the bank he went after. It's a great film. Faces Places by the photographer J.R. and Agnes Varda. I wasn't a huge fan of Icarus by Brian Vogel, nor I have not seen Last Man in Aleppo, but I have seen Strong Island by transgender director Yancey Ford, and that is an absolutely stunning directorial debut, and you can watch it on Netflix right now.
Strong Island. And the other one you like is Abacus.
Abacus and Faces Places.
Okay.
So three of the five I've seen and really like.
Well, thank you both, Linda DeLibro and Christopher Llewellyn Reed. Linda DeLibro is director of film and media studies at the Johns Hopkins University. Chris Reed is professor and chair of the film and moving image department at Stevenson University. So that's it for our show for today. A quick one on the Oscars. Dan Roderick's here for our producers, Steve Early and Quinn Kelly. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking.